Welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
Once when the sun came down from heaven, angels were singing, shepherds came, hoping to find him, wise men traveling, sweet baby Jesus on the hay.
Once when the sun came down from Calvary, dark filled the earth in the middle of the day. That's where he died on a cross. He carried his blood, took the stain of sin away.
Oh, the grace shed down upon us, Holy God, on unholy ground. Nothing on earth can take him from us. Glory in the highest, the sun came down.
Tomb alive once more.
How his disciples must have shouted, death could not hold him, Jesus our Lord. Oh, the grace shed down upon us, Holy God, on unholy. The sun came down.
Nothing on earth can take him from us.
Glory in the highest, the sun came down.
Hello again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Thankful to be able to be back to the radio station once again today and have what we consider another God-given opportunity that might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. I do sincerely appreciate all who've tuned in, and I appreciate your prayers and ask you to continue to pray for us as we might try to stand from time to time and deliver some thoughts from the Word of God, that as we do so, that we'd be prepared in such a way that the things that are brought forth, that truly they'd be those that would be the most beneficial to anyone who might be tuned in. I would think that any individual who just considers what is implied in such a request, that you'd realize that indeed that it takes the Lord's help to even think along those lines, that is, to be prepared with the thoughts that might be helpful to anyone who might tune in. Who else other than God would know what those things might be? I can tell you from different occasions, different times in our own life, as we've tried to do this work and under the leadership of the Lord, you have thoughts on your heart, and as you address them, at times you may wonder, well, why was it significant to touch on this one particular thing or that other particular thing, and find out later on that it's that indeed someone was listening who got a great blessing out of it. I believe that takes the hand of the Lord for that to happen. So I just appreciate so much those of you who do pray for us and ask the Lord to help us, because we do know that we need His help in all things. We've been trying to touch on some thoughts from just basic what's called general articles of faith, that is, things which that we find the Bible to teach, and in those things which we find the Bible to teach, I believe these very basic points that this isn't something that you that's been developed and then after being developed went to the Bible to see if we could find verses and scriptures to that would support those thoughts. Rather, from studying the Bible and studying the scriptures, you find that this is what the Bible teaches, and then these articles were drafted in that fashion. And we invite all to take note and consider the things that are being addressed and prayerfully consider them for yourselves. We have a website that has these materials in different formats. They are previously delivered sermons. There's the actual print, the paperwork that goes along with this. So perhaps you miss notes, don't take notes yourself, but you like to refer to the actual print itself. It's also there available on that website. And again, we just invite and encourage all who's interested to consider these for yourself and study. I think it's a very rich study, very profitable, so much that it's important to share them. And I know they've been on our heart for quite a while and felt deeply impressed that we should come this way and try to share these points. The website will be named at the end of this broadcast, but I'll give it the address at this time as well, in case you might want to take note of it. The site is called FisherOfMenBaptistic.com. Fisher of Men Baptistic, that's like Baptist with the IC on the end of it, Baptistic.com. And on that site, a number of resources are found there. One particular spot that we're referring to as we just were making mention of these articles is the part called Articles of Faith. And scroll down that page, and toward the bottom of the page there, you'll see the area we're talking about that has the written material and the sermons. And also there are some videos that have been developed in Bible study format as well, if you'd like to consider those as you study. We need to go to the Lord in prayer, and then after we pray, we'll try to take up the thought that's on our heart today. So where you'd like to join with us then, and you can, then let us pray. Gracious and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for your rich blessings that you so mercifully extend to us through thy Son Christ Jesus. We thankful, Father, for your constant watch, care, and protection over us. Thankful, Father, for your long-suffering toward us. As we stumble along through this time called life, we're thankful, Lord, for your blessings and your protection. Forgive us for our sins and shortcomings, and help us, Lord, that indeed, by your own guidance, that we might be such we know we can't be on our own. We are prayerful again for those who have been mentioned who are not well. Pray for their health and well-being. Pray for those who've given up their loved one in all the sad and needy circumstances. Pray, God, that mostly for those who are lost and undone, who know you not, nor the free pardon of sin, praying as something might be said or done to cause some lost soul to think about the great necessity of soul salvation and see all needs provided in that sacrificial offering of Christ on Calvary's cross. We pray, God, that you'd help us to be better servants daily, that things in our own lives would be ordered in such a way that we would be a co-laborer, a fellow laborer with thee, our God, in this great work. We pray, Father, for those who have been saved, that indeed there'd be leadership granted to where there'd been understanding of wherein lies the church, and the seeking out and uniting thereunto it would take place. We believe that thy only Son is the head of that church. Pray, God, you'd help us to serve him better in it daily, that indeed might be even a tool and a vessel meet for that good use. We pray again for the church, that there'd be a great awakening, an awakening of such that there'd be a great turning to God with humility of heart and in this humble condition, that be found serving you to the great benefit of all about us. We pray again for our country, ask you to help our country, Father. Grant us that we would have leadership that would be pleasing to you. Help us to know how we should support this great land which that you've allowed us to be a part of. And help us to know, Father, within the very sphere of where that you've placed us, that indeed we would exercise all the decisions and all the guidance that you would grant unto us. Forgive us again for our shortcomings. We know we fail to ask many things, but fail not to grant, for we seek all favors and blessings in Jesus' name. For his name's sake we do pray. Amen. As we had said earlier, been studying what's called Articles of Faith, and in these study, we have come to the place where we are looking at what's called the fourth article, or the title is Of Salvation. We've read previously what this article says, but we'd like to read it again. And try to take some points from this for your consideration. The article reads, "We believe that the salvation of sinners is wholly of grace through the mediatorial offices of the Son of God, who by the appointment of the Father freely took upon him our nature, yet without sin, honored the divine law by his personal obedience, and by his death made a full atonement for our sins, that having risen from the dead, he is now enthroned in heaven, and uniting in his wonderful person the tenderest sympathies with divine perfections, he is every way qualified to be a suitable, a compassionate, and an all-sufficient Savior." We previously took up the first part of this, where that is addressed that we believe that the salvation of sinners is wholly of grace through the mediatorial offices of the Son of God. At this point, we'd like to take up the next part of this article, which says that who, by the appointment of the Father, freely took upon him our nature, yet without sin, honored the divine law by his personal obedience. So in this point, in this section of this article, referring to salvation, we find that the Scripture teach to such an extent that Christ Jesus was appointed of God the Father to take on our nature, and while in that nature, he honored the divine law by his personal obedience, that this is essential unto the salvation of mankind, and that the Bible teaches this is evident, believe it, it to be plainly seen as we consider some scriptures. But we invite you to think about it and how that, hopefully, in considering it, you'll see how that this point of how the divine Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, took on him our nature, yet without sin, and honored the divine law by obedience. And that this is essential that he did this on our behalf, so that salvation could be brought to us by him. And in that he alone has taken this place, he alone, being divine, yet became fully man, humbling himself to take on such a state, and while in it, honored the divine law by obedience. Inasmuch as he has done this, that there is salvation for mankind found nowhere else. That it excludes, that this work is so special, unique, that resting solely and completely and exclusively in Christ is the salvation of all of humanity. Let's consider some scriptures that help us to introduce this point. Out of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And with the mistakes we may have made, this gives us a reading lesson to help us establish our thought from Hebrews chapter 2. And I've read from verse 6 down through verse 17. Notice in these verses that we begin with a quote from the Scriptures, where that we find out of the book of Psalms over in chapter 8, where that it's cited, that it's said there, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels." And then, after having these quotes from the book of Psalms before us, we have it called to our attention. It said, "But now we see not yet all things that's been put under him," and making reference to Christ. All things have been made subject to Christ and put under him. It says, "We see not yet all these things are, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death." So who is it that was being referred to in Psalms 8? Well, who was being referred to was Christ Jesus. This was prophecy, prophetically teaching, that when Christ came, that he had come in the form a little lower than the angels. He would not be of the power and the strength of one of the angelic hosts. No, he came and took on himself our nature by the appointment of the Father. And this is what that we find in this article, that what the Son of God did was he came in our nature. He came and took upon him our form. And these verses are telling us that indeed this very thing happened. So it says this, "It became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one." So what did he do? He became one with us. He united in himself this very nature, which is mankind. Again, later on in this reading, in verse 14, "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." So what did he do? He took part of the flesh and blood. He, who's absolutely divine, lowered, humbled himself, and through the Immaculate Conception, entered into the world, and uniting into his person, the divinity of his own person, being the second person of the Godhead, and the humanity of mankind. So that inasmuch as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, those who he is dying for, those who he came to deliver, inasmuch as we are flesh and blood, he enjoined in himself the same, so that he could be the deliverer of us, that is, through mankind. We'll consider another verse, some verses of Scripture which further help us consider this, out of the book of Philippians. And over in Philippians and in chapter 2, we notice, beginning with verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now, these verses of Scripture help us see two parts of this section of these articles. Not only is it, the first thing helps us see is that he took on him our nature. And the next thing it helps us see is how that he obeyed the divine law. He honored the law of God by obedience. And he obeyed it even unto death. That is, that in obeying the law, that it would lead him to a place where he must die. But even though that was the case, he still obeyed it even unto death. And in obeying it, he honored it. And where that, you think about what that we do when we disobey God, when we disobey the law, when we break, I'm not talking about the law of man, I'm talking about the law of God. When we disobey God's law, it dishonors it. What Christ did was he obeyed it. And in obeying it, he honored it. But he became, like these verses of Scripture, who being in the form of God, there is no denial on Christ's part that he is God. Some would have us believe that nowhere in the Scripture does Christ tell us that He is God, where really and honestly, there are numbers of times when Christ was questioned, that He let it be known that He is God. He made Himself, even though He thought He wasn't equal to be equal with God, He made Himself of no reputation. He didn't go around boasting of the fact. But a number of times in the Scriptures, He lets us know that indeed He is God. The Scriptures go on, and after saying this, that He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation, that He took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So here we find again, the Bible teaches us that by God's appointment, by God the Father's appointment, that He took our nature. And even though He took on our nature, it was without sin. We think again about Scriptures, which help us see that indeed Christ came, the Son of God came in our nature. And these other Scriptures we might refer to would be found over in Galatians and in chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, we notice, says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." So what does this Scripture tell us? This Scripture tells us that there was a time set. And I believe a careful consideration of the Scriptures will help us see that this time was preordained, that God knew before the foundation of the earth when that time would be. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. This is God the Father sending forth God the Son at the appointed time. And how did He send Him forth? Made of a woman, made under the law. Made of a woman helps us see that Jesus Christ, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that He came forth of a woman, the Immaculate Conception, where that this virgin conceived and brought forth the Holy Seed, that is, the Son of God. But He was made of a woman made under the law. That is, He was not above the law. He was subject unto the law. In the great plan of God, the divinity, united completely with humanity, made of a woman made under the law, that He could honor the law, and by personal obedience redeem mankind, who that even though under the law, but fallen subject to the penalty of breaking it. So as this says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. How could this adoption of sons, how could salvation be brought down to mankind? By one way, and one way alone, and that being the way preordained of God in Christ Jesus, and His personally taking His divinity, uniting it with humanity, and obeying the law, honor, and thereby honoring it, that through that obedience and through that honoring of the law, His sacrificial offering of Himself could be the substitute for all of mankind, that all of mankind through Him could find soul salvation, deliverance from the penalty of breaking the law. We might notice how, more particularly, the Scriptures teach us of His great honoring of the law. When we think about over in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 42, we notice in Isaiah 42, beginning with verse 19, picking up a middle of a thought here for the sake of time, "Who is blind but my servant, or deaf is my messenger that I sent? Who is blind is he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable." This indeed, the one who was made of a woman in fullness of time, whom God sent forth, that is, God sent forth His Son. This says, the one who, that the messenger of God, who He sent, and that God, speaking of this one whom He sent, said that the Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will do what? He'll magnify the law and make it honorable. As much as we dishonor the law in breaking it, because of our disobedience, it brings that dishonor. But Christ honors it. He honored it in obedience and he made it honorable. Therefore, you could find the scripture again, I think, about over in Acts chapter 2, jumps to mind, I think it's verse 24, where it speaks of how that death could not hold Christ. He could not be holding of it because he never sinned. Why could death not hold Christ? Well, the wages of sin is death, but Christ never sinned. Therefore, he didn't owe that debt. But he paid it anyway. So who did he pay it on behalf of? He paid it on behalf of us. And that would get us into the next section of these articles, which help us understand, calls to our attention the meaning of such things as redemption and propitiation and atonement. But with the time we have remaining, let's continue on with this article, speaking of, by the appointment of the Father, Christ took on our nature, yet without sin, honored the divine law by obedience. And so, as we have seen, he took on him our nature, because the children, being flesh and blood, he likewise took on the same. Even though he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And then, as we said there, I saw from Galatians 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. We just also read out of Isaiah 42 how that he magnified the law and made it honorable. But let us lastly consider Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, we might read verses 18 and 19, which tells us, making a comparison between how that the first man, Adam, how he fell. And we considered how the scriptures teach us of the fall of man previously as we took up the whole article on the fall of man. But here from verses 18 and 19, we find a comparison where Adam disobeyed, Christ obeyed. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, this is Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men and the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Noticing yet again how that obedience is held high, and we see it held high in one and in only one, that is Christ Jesus. And in his obedience, he honored the divine law. And we should all be thankful that he did, even though tempted in all ways, such as we are, yet without sin. He honored the law and went to the place of death. And having tasted death for every man can taste life through him. What a great substitute. What a great plan. We're thankful today to have the opportunity to consider some of these points. Lord willing, we're able to come back again. We'll try to take up some more thoughts along this line of how salvation has been established for mankind. Thank you again for tuning in. Pray that God would richly bless you and yours. Continue to pray for me, and I'll be careful to do the same for you. Again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church, praying God would richly bless you and yours.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.